Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we thank you for coming here with us today, because one of the things we all know here and understand is that Jesus Christ gave us three commands to live our lives by. And in those three commands, all of the scriptures are summed up: to love God, love others, and go. And that is not a worldly sense of love. Can I get an amen, church? That is a godly, biblical sense of love. And that love is selfless, but that love has rules. That love has boundaries. And so too does the love of God. And may we be found in them, amen? And may the world find them and find life. And today we're going to be talking about some of those realities as we go into our sermon today, which is entitled Psalm 41, An Application to the Ills of Our Land. Now today I want you to understand, I'm not doing so much of an interpretation as I am an application. What's the difference between an interpretation and an application? An interpretation looks at the biblical word. It looks at the historical, grammatical, rhetorical, and theological meanings and brings it out to us so we understand what was happening and what God is saying to us. Now, we can take that truth, this is why the word is living, and we can apply it to our daily lives, for there is nothing new under the sun. God has spoken that to let us understand that the things that He has given us speak to us even today. Can I get an amen, church? So we need to apply the interpretation of God's word to our lives and where we find ourselves. And that's exactly what we're going to do today with Psalm 41. So please turn there in your Bibles to Psalm 41 as we come together in the Lord. Psalm 41 is a psalm of David, as well we know. And that psalm speaks of something that was happening in David's life. We're going to read through the entire psalm, and then I'm going to break it down as I normally do. You all know me. You know how I preach, and you know how I teach. And I pray that you will be blessed therein. So let us turn to the word of the Lord, for thus saith the word of the Lord. From the first verse in the book of Psalms in the 41st chapter. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health. For as for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil against me. When will they die and his name perish? And when he comes to see me, he speaks falsehood. His heart gathers wickedness to itself. When he goes outside, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him, that when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate at my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. When we read these words, I want us to understand that David here is in a time of sickness. David here is in a time when things are coming against him. One of his major counselors, one of the people that he entrusted himself with, literally was lying about him and had turned to one of his enemies to strengthen his enemy. So here we see David lamenting the things that were going on in his day. In this sickness that had come upon him, there was wickedness upon wickedness imposed upon him. And when we understand that, we can come to an idea of what's going on. I want us to remember, David is a type of the Christ. Would you agree with me on that, church? Because we understand that through the scriptures, that God shows us types of himself coming through the lineage. We understand that Moses, in his deliverance of the people out of bondage, was a type of the Christ. David, in how he ruled over the peoples, is a type of the Christ. When we think about this then upon ourselves, are we not the church of Jesus Christ? Because we therefore then become a type of the Christ as the church. And this can be applied to us. When we look at what's going on in our world today, we can see that there is a great sickness that has come upon the church. Can I get an amen? And one of the things that we need to understand is what's happening here, what David is explaining to us, and understand that this is a very reality that he's dealing with, an ever-present reality that we are going to have to deal with. Because David looked upon his people, his counselors, those who were around him, as his helpers, as those who were to be there to help him rise up, to be the man of God that he was supposed to be. We, the church, can see that within the church, there's all kinds of stuff happening, and it is dragging the church down, and the church is sick. For a great sickness has come upon us. And that sickness is the evil of this world that we see pouring out in so many different layers and in so many different places. I could sit here and talk about the weather manipulation. I can sit here and talk about the chemtrails. I can sit here and talk about vaccines. I can sit here and talk about the LGBTQ plus stuff that's going on out there. I can talk about the financial situations where the banks are going bankrupt and we're bailing them out once again. You know, it's like, wait a minute, people, when does the stupidity stop? I'm going to tell you right now, there's no cure for stupidity. It will be here as long as man is here. Because man's heart is evil from birth. God spoke it, and we know it to be true. Can I get an amen, church? And I mean to tell you, we need to be careful. We call ourselves the church, but how many of us are buying into some of the things that this world is doing? We need to be very careful. Because I'll tell you right now, there's a struggle that goes on inside of each and every one of us. It went on in David. Do we know David was a perfect man? No, he wasn't. We need to understand this in the context, that he was a broken man, that he was a sinful man, but he was a man who sought after God's heart. And that's who we're supposed to be, men and women who seek after God's heart. And when we look at these and break this stuff down, we will see the parallels of what's happening in our world. So we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. It said, "How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desire of his enemies." Those two verses tell to us that God knows the true condition of our hearts and our minds, and we need to stop being indifferent to this world. David here is the king of Israel. David is the one who is supposed to be looking out for the welfare of all the peoples, and this thing that has come upon him has taken him to the point where he can't even take care of himself. How many of you feel that's the way the church is right now? It can't even take care of itself. There's so much going on that the church, and when I say that, I mean the church, can't take it because it's just too many different opinions coming in and going out. But God tells us we're to be of single mindedness, and that mindedness is towards God. What does he say? How blessed is he who considers the helpless. Other translations say, consider the poor. We need to understand that is talking about those who have need. That is talking about those who don't know what's going on. I told you, we cannot cure stupidity, but Jesus came to cure ignorance. Can I get an amen? That is the truth of things, because the truth will set you free. And when you know the truth, you know the answer. You're not ignorant anymore. You can be stupid and continue doing the wrong thing, but you can't be ignorant anymore because you know the truth. Do you get my meaning? This is where we have to go with this. This is what we have to look at. When he's talking to us here, and I love this, I underline this in my Bible. It says, the Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. What is that day of trouble? That day of trouble is right now. It's been many things throughout time. But right now, that day of trouble, it's right here. It's right amongst us. It's the arguing that's happening in the church. It's all the stuff that's going on that our world is inflicting upon us, trying to get us to shut up, trying to get us to be marginal in our faith and not proclaim the gospel out there because it's hate speech. Excuse me? It is not hate speech. How is me telling you I'm a sinner hate speech? How is me telling you that God loves you and died for you hate speech? Oh, well, but you come against LGBT, well, I can't even give you the letters no more. I don't even want to speak it. How can all these things be said? How can this be what is? I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, when the world calls evil good and good evil, we see ourselves in this time of trouble. This is what's being talked about. We are in this time of trouble, and David knew it, and he fought through it. Why? By considering those who were being afflicted. I want to tell you right now, all this stuff, all that alphabet stuff, all the abortion stuff, all that is against our children. It's not against you and me. Get your head out of it and start thinking about what's really going on. They want our children. They want the generations. And if you think I'm crazy, I'm not. How many of our children are being indoctrinated in school? And we know they are because they're being told, don't tell your parents about this stuff. And we won't tell them either. We know it's the truth. I watched a video just a couple of days ago where a pastor stood up in front of a council, a school board, and started reading one of the books that the kids were given to read. They were told to read this book in one of their classes. He starts reading it, and it is talking, I'm going to say this stuff right out here on TV land, on internet land. It was talking about masturbation. It was talking about oral sex. And the folks in the front got embarrassed and said, oh, you got to, well, you can't say that stuff here. And the pastor asked them, what do you mean I can't say it here? You're the people that are saying the kids are supposed to read it. Brothers and sisters, our world is sick. And it's coming at us. And we need to consider the poor. Stop thinking about yourself and saying, well, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me. You better believe it affects you. David understood that. His charge was over Israel, not himself. Our charge is not over ourselves. Our charge is over the world to those who would be saved. And that's our children. Because right now they're in the age of innocence. And the evil one doesn't care. He's coming at them. And you and I are the gatekeepers. We need to understand that we cannot allow this sickness to get us down. How many of you, when you're sick and on your sickbed, you don't want anybody to call, you don't want anybody to come around, just let me alone. Unless you're married, then you want your spouse to wait on you hand and foot. I just looked over at a husband and wife and he got it real quick. He was like, yeah, thank you, baby. We need to understand things are out of control. There is trouble in the land. But the Lord says, the word of the Lord says, the Lord will protect him and keep him alive. What? Keep him alive. What does that mean? In righteousness. We need to understand, outside of Christ, we are dead. Can I get an amen, church? To be kept alive means to be in the Word, doing what the Word tells us, no matter how we feel. The way you feel doesn't matter. Who you are and what you're going to do, that matters. Because that changes eternity. God could have felt sorry for all of us and said, oh, there's nothing I can do. Is that what he did? No. What did he do? He went to the cross. He became our sickness. No, he took our sickness upon himself. And he died on our behalf. Because we shall be raised up, and we're going to see that. And verse 2 there at the end, the last portion of it, it says, and do not give him over to the desire of his enemies. Now, I want to tell you something right now. In my Bible, in my NASB, that is a bad translation of one word, okay? And a lot of people hate it when I say this stuff because it's like, wait a minute, you're going to change the word of God. Nope. NIV, King James, they say, and will not, okay? Because and do not implies that God would harm us. But I want you to think about what is being said here, because this is a perfect present proposition. This entire proposition, verses 1 and 2, is present perfect in the Hebrew. Okay? Why would David change it to a negative in the last portion when he's giving positive perfect, and then a negative? Let's read this again. He said, how blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And will not give him over to the desires of his enemies. That word there is the exact same word that's used up above. But it's translated differently for some odd reason. Because that word can be translated as will or do. I don't like the word do because it implies that he may, but will not tells us that he can't and he won't hand us over to our enemy. And we need to know that, don't we, church? We need to know and understand that God is faithful. Is God faithful in all that he is and does? Then therefore, let us remember he is faithful. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. And don't put a comma there either. We need to understand God's word and live by it. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Well, here, it's going to be up on the screen. You don't have to turn there. Stay there in Psalm. Luke 6 and 38. It says to us, given it shall be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. When we understand, Jesus spoke that. This is in direct correlation to what is being spoken here. When we consider the poor, God's going to take care of us. God's going to raise us up. God's going to be there for us. And as we are there for those others, God through us is going to help those others. You and I need to stop indifference in what we think and what we feel. We need to be getting involved. We need to be plugged into where God is and what he wants coming in this world. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach all peoples. Can we get an amen, church? That we ourselves, no matter how we feel, will be out there advocating the cause of Christ, for we are not ashamed of the gospel. Can I get an amen? And that's who we need to be. And when the church compromises that reality and starts placating the evil, they're no longer the church. And that is the truth. And it's hard, but it's truth. So we move on from verses 3 and verse 4 in the psalm. It says, the Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed in his illness. You restore him to health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. We need to understand that we need to repent to be raised up. We need to repent to be raised up. Our sickbed is our sin. How many of us are sinners saved by grace? Do you understand there are two types of sin in this world? There is the sin of commission and the sin of omission. The sin of commission is what you commit. The sin of omission is what you didn't do that you should have done. So when we're praying that prayer, because how many of you know I should have said something to that person? I should have loved on that individual and I left that get away. I should have spoke up when that was said because it was wrong. I should have looked into that, but, you know, hey, I didn't want anybody to think ill of me. Brothers and sisters, it ain't about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? There are two powers in this world, good and evil. You are either fighting on the side of good or you are walking on the side of evil. And we all need to understand that the evil one will try to turn us to a deaf ear and indifference. We cannot do that. We must repent of that and walk aright with God. Because when we do, the Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health. I want us to understand in the original text there, when you read it out of the Hebrew, it literally is talking about a sickbed, that God will make your sickbed well. Okay, it's like thinking about a nurse who's caring for you in your sickbed. You know, and you're so weak and so weary that you can't even roll over and you're starting to get bed sores. You need somebody there to help you, don't you? Well, that somebody is God. And he is there in your time of sickness, in your time of need, in your time of struggle, because this stuff doesn't stop, does it? But we need to remember Jesus is right there. God is right there. And he's going to strengthen us through it all. He's going to be the nurse at our sickbed, wiping the sweat off of your brow. He's going to be the one encouraging you, raising you up, speaking the words of love, speaking the words of compassion, pouring out the anointing of healing upon you. Is that the God we know? Then why aren't we praising God for even what is coming? Because we know that in these things that are coming, the glory of God's going to be shown through us. If we are found, as David found himself, compassionate to the poor. You and I need to understand that this is part of who we are, that God's going to raise us up. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read these words. It says, my enemy... Is that where we're starting? Yeah, 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to the more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction. How many of you like that thought? Momentary and light. How many of you think your affliction is momentary and light? We need to think in the scope of eternity. For momentary and light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen? As you and I struggle in this world, as we come against these things, and they're going to come at us, we need to understand God is right there to build us up, to strengthen us, and to set us in victory in eternal places, not temporal places. You know, I think it's funny. We ask God to heal us now. Oh, Lord God, take away this thing that's bothering me right now. Lord, do away with it. And God's like, no, don't you understand? I want you to work through this because I have something even bigger for you downstream when you get through this. I listened to a testimony just 2 days ago, testimony of a pastor, and he was at a play that they were doing in Las Vegas, or Los Angeles, out on coast of California. And they did this beautiful play, this thing where, you know, all these folks were there, and you know, he was getting up to give the gospel at the end of this beautiful display they did. It was a gospel pageant that they had there. He said there was well over 5,000 people there. And when he went to give the gospel, the entire sound system fried. The entire sound system fried. So there they were with 5,000 people. They had just been there to see this thing, and they're working frantically to try and get this sound system up and going. And time went by, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. What do you think started happening to those 5,000? They started to leave. They started to leave. They were there. They were ready to hear that gospel. They had stayed. They were focused. And a half hour later, they had all left. This pastor was completely and totally distraught because he literally was praying on the stage, Lord God, you've got to make this happen. You've got to make this work. You've got to be here for these people. All these people were here, and you know, they're not going to get saved. And if you don't do something, then, you know, well, then so be it, because I can't. Can you imagine a preacher praying that prayer? Well, after 45 minutes, everybody's gone. The sound system, like I said, it was fried. The pastor's sitting there, and he's just disgusted. Everybody's walking around sorry for themselves. They missed this opportunity, and the pastor was upset. He said, you know what? I'm going to go to McDonald's. I'm going to get something to eat. So he walks across the street to a McDonald's, which was on the other side. Goes in. He orders a Big Mac. Large fry, and a Coke Zero. Comes back outside. As he's coming back outside, he trips over something at the door. Here it was a homeless man who was sleeping at the door. He was under a blanket. Has a conversation with the gentleman because he roused him. Walks away. He could care less. Here's a homeless person. He's got a meal. He could help this guy. He could care less. God abandoned him, you know, left him hanging with a dead mic. He didn't care about the guy. He walked away. This is the pastor's own words. He got about 30 feet away from him, and the Lord spoke to him and said, would you go back and give that man that meal? He said, I told God, no. And I turned and I kept walking. He said, I got about another 30 feet, and I heard it again. He said, this time it was louder. He said, you need to understand. He said, this is the first time I heard God's voice. He said, the Lord said to me, will you go back and give him that meal? He stopped dead in his tracks. And he said, Lord, is it really you? Didn't hear anything else, but his spirit was convicted. So he turned around begrudgingly and he walked back and he gave the gentleman a Big Mac, a large fry, and a Coke Zero. The gentleman received it from his hands and just started weeping, as the pastor said, elephant tears. And he was like, what's going on? And he just walked away, and he said he only got a couple of feet, and he turned back around and he said, there's something wrong. I just gave him that he should be happy. Why is he crying? So the pastor went over and he said, this guy's name was Cardboard. Okay, he told him, my name's Cardboard. So he says, Cardboard, what's wrong? What's going on? He said, you don't understand. And Cardboard went into this elaborate story that he was there to hear this and to see this whole thing take place. And he heard this voice in his ears. And this voice told him, go up to the top of that building, to that window that's open up there. So Cardboard walked up there. He gets up top. Now this, I missed a piece. Cardboard is sitting there, and he's waiting for this thing to happen. And he hears this voice the first time, and he says, the Lord does not love you, Cardboard. Now, when somebody says your name, do you think you will get a little bit of attention? Okay, now Cardboard wasn't his real name. Cardboard was his street name. So he's paying attention, and this voice tells him, go over and go up in that building and up to that window. So he, obligingly, I mean, you hear this stuff in your head, you know, some people are going to move on this stuff, right? So he goes over, climbs this building, gets up in this building, takes the stairs all the way to the top. While he's climbing, they're down here doing this pageant. He gets up to the window, and he looks out, and the voice says to him, walk out on the ledge. And when he starts talking, show them just how much God loves you and jump. What did I tell you happened to the pastor? He was getting ready to speak. Remember, while cardboard's climbing, the show was going on. Cardboard gets to the top and he's about to give the gospel message. What happened to the sound system? It fried. He couldn't speak. He couldn't say a word. What did the voice tell him? When he starts to speak, jump. He said, I waited and I waited. He said, I waited 15 minutes and nothing was coming. I walked back inside and I sat down. This is cardboard speaking. And he says, I sat down and I said, Lord, was that you? Did you really want me to jump? And this voice said to him, cardboard. He said, and it was another voice. He said, but this voice was filled with love and hope and compassion. He said, cardboard, ask me for anything. Cardboard sat there and he said, God, I'm not a man of a lot of wants. He said, but if it's really you, then do something simple. I want a Big Mac, a large fry, and a Coke. And he went downstairs. He said to God, I'll meet you at the McDonald's if it's really you. He went down, crossed the street, and sat at the front of the McDonald's and even covered himself up so he wouldn't be recognized. The pastor was so upset because he didn't get to preach to thousands. I want you to understand, God's not into the thousands. God's into the one. God's into the one. When he went to the cross, he went there for one. That one was you. That one was you. That one was you. That one was you. You and I all need to understand. You may feel like you're standing in groups of thousands, but God is looking at you. He knows your name. He knows your purpose. He knows the plan he has for you, and he wants you to succeed. He wants you to know that he is going to be there to take care of your sickbed in every way. That pastor now is a pastor. He was in seminary to become a pastor. He said, God changed my entire perspective. It wasn't for the thousands. It wasn't for me to look good to them. It was because cardboard, whose name was Samuel, needed to hear the voice of the Lord and find salvation, the one. You and I may be going through all this stuff for one, but are you willing to go through it for the one? Jesus did, and we need to understand God is right there on our side. I'm down to 2 minutes, so you know this sermon is going to continue unto next week. And I only went through the first four verses. Brothers and sisters, this is an interpretation. This is an application for the ills of our land. You and I need to look at the heart, the love, the life of Jesus Christ and begin to understand he spoke these things so long ago that he loves you so much. He knows your every need. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. And together he will use us to touch one another and make it happen. Can I get an amen, church? But we got to stand in this word. We cannot stop in this word. We cannot say, I don't want to apply that to me. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a pastor. And there have been times when I've looked at this word and I've said, no, God, you don't mean for me to do that, do you? You want me to tell somebody else to do that? And he says, no, Rich, you're my man. And you may be his woman. But if we are in Christ, are we not his? And he is our hope. He will give us, he will protect us, he will keep us, and there is nothing that can stop us from being raised up. When we repent and when we walk in that truth that God is there to give us hope. Here was that pastor. How do you think he felt? I'll guarantee you he got it right now. May we get it right. May we confess our sin, whether it's the sin of commission or the sin of omission. And may we hold fast to the hope that we have, knowing that God's going to be there. God's got this all covered, people. We just need to be the church and stop being pew sitters. We need to be out there active and able. But the reality of that is that means being available. Are you available to God? Not for what you want, but for what He wants. Because in that, you will find hope. You will find healing. You will find help. Pray with me. Father God, there's so much more to this teaching. We only got through four verses today. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to see and understand that we need to see what's happening in our world to consider the helpless. Because Lord, it's not about us. It's not what's happening to us. It's about what's happening to the innocents of our world. And we are in that trouble now. And you will not give us over to the desires of our enemies. That is your promise, and I hold to it. Because Lord, we know that when we graciously repent, you are there and you cannot lie. So therefore, Lord, we hold to this word and we cling to you. And we ask, Father, that you would use us, that you would regenerate the heart of the church, and that you would move in our lives in such a way that we would be the hope and help that each and every person needs that we meet. May we be as David, a type of the Christ. Yes, Lord, we're not perfect, but you are. And as we give ourselves to you, you can be given to others in real time. Bless us now. Use us now. Save our world now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.